My name is Mark Swanson, and I'm the Executive Director of the Prince William Sound Regional Citizens Advisory Council.
For someone who's unfamiliar with this organization, what's the background and kind of the history of how it came to be?
The Prince William Sound RCAC came about really in the aftermath of the Exxon Valdez oil spill. It was not a new concept. It was actually invented in Sullenblow, Scotland. But the concept is to give the citizens that would be most impacted by an environmental accident or by environmental risk-taking actually a voice and a seat at the table to articulate their concerns. And so what this group does is we represent, you know, all the downstream communities, those impacted by the spill in and around Prince William Sound. But this was a pretty huge spill in 1989, and it went down to Kodiak and Seward and Homer and Seldovia, and so we represent all those communities as well. And we provide advice both to state and federal regulators, but also to industry on things we're concerned about, things we think might improve the ability to prevent the next spill or the ability to respond better should there be another spill. Obviously, we're more interested in preventing a spill than responding to one. But I think, you know, we represent really all walks of those communities. And since this is a very sort of oil-interested state, you know, we have lots of folks that are definitely not anti-industry in any way, shape, or form on our board. But I'd have to say they're fairly enlightened about how bad it can go wrong when it does go wrong and have a fairly enlightened view of how many and what kind of protection measures are called for. You know, fairly substantial protection measures, because it is hard to respond, and it's much better to prevent. We're established by law, by the Oil Pollution Act of 1990, but we have absolutely no regulatory authority at all. We're simply advisory. And so, you know, as advisors, either to regulators or to the oil industry, you know, what we say, you know, stands or falls on its own credibility. So first and foremost, we do an awful lot of credible research and hire the best experts we can find to sort of study issues and look at what we're doing and look at what other people do in other places and see if they're best practices that can be adopted. And so simply doing good research and informing industry and the regulators, you know, where we are and what could be done that's better, calling for increases in regulation or informing the public, and the public putting some pressure on industry or regulators to do, you know, things in a better way, or finally asking for law changes to compel that. But industry, you know, and regulators predictably aren't all that happy with having somebody look over their shoulder and say, hey, you guys are great, but you could be better. Mm-hmm. And here's some examples of how you could be better, because, I think, you know, if you want to think about it, you could maybe make an analogy that we're sort of like the mother-in-law in the back seat. You know, we're not really impressed that the engine is big and that the car can go fast. We want to know that, you know, the brakes are great and you stop at all the stop signs and you maintain the speed limit. So we're kind of a wet blanket on risk-taking and maybe doing things, you know, more cheaply than they might be if you had full prevention measures in place.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And can you give me any kind of examples of, like, what kind of impact your organization has had on the discussion of these issues and the way that things have operated with transporting oil?
I think, you know, there's a long legacy of successes of citizen involvement. It puts all these discussions on the table and lets citizens have a voice. And so, you know, if you fast forward from, you know, 1989, where there were not a lot of attention paid to the response gear that was in the Sound, but not necessarily ready to be deployed, and some of the oversight, there are huge advances in both state oversight and Coast Guard oversight and even industry oversight of themselves. And the Citizen Council has been at the heart of that. And so now we have two tug escorts that follow every tanker out of the Sound that's loaded with oil, and those are some of the most capable tankers in the world. Some of the most capable tugs in the world, I meant to say. But also, you know, the law is increased and now requires double hull tankers. Recently, this council lobbied to ensure that those tugs would escort even double hull tankers. Originally, the Oil Pollution Act of 1990 just required tug escorts for single hull tankers and also stipulated that those should be phased out and replaced with double hulls. about 5 years back, the council realized that all the single hulls had left the system, and there really was no legislative or legal obligation to continue the tug escorts that we found so incredibly effective at preventing accidents or ensuring that even minor mechanical problems don't, you know, run into something much, much bigger like we saw with the Kulik, you know, somebody on the lee shore with a lot of oil on board. There was certainly a call for and an envisioning of additional citizens' oversight councils in other places, but that really hasn't happened. It got a whole lot more attention after the BP spill in 2010. There are still discussions about, you know, the utility and the need for some citizens' oversight councils in the Gulf. Certainly in the Arctic, I think lots of folks are concerned about the risks in the Arctic. We all know about the risks of all the shipping traffic that goes past the Aleutians on the Great Circle route to Asian ports. And
now to the Kulik specifically, what kind of background can you give to me, like for somebody who would be unfamiliar with what happened there?
Well, first of all, the Kulik is not a Prince William Sound incident, but I think it's useful because it reminds, you know, anybody that kind of watched that unfold that, you know, Alaska has lots of tough maritime conditions and we're vulnerable all across the entire state from coastal shipping and oil activities in the Arctic and around Kodiak and the Aleutians and certainly South Central. You know, what it did is it highlighted that, you know, if you've got a vessel in distress offshore in coastal Alaska, it doesn't really matter whether it's offshore Prince William Sound or Aleutians. Even with some of the best equipment around, it's extraordinarily challenging to bring that situation, you know, to heal and under control. You know, we have what we think are arguably some of the best, you know, escort and prevention measures in place here in the world in Prince William Sound. But we've done some studies that say, hey, they could be a lot better. Technology's changed in the 15 years since they've been in place. And, you know, in particular, they could use better winches that pay out and reel in the tow line under full load. So to act sort of as a mechanical shock absorber when vessels are getting bounced around in waves. And this Kulik rig, you know, was being attended by a brand new ship with twice the horsepower of any of the tugs here in Prince William Sound. And their tow line broke no less than five times. So with a brand new purpose-built ship, having huge difficulty managing the vessel, the same vessel they were actually designed to support, I think it should give us all great cause for pause and saying, are people really, really prepared for preventing accidents and injuries with oil industry? Because I think the answer to that question is not really. Sort of, but not completely. Alaska can always throw weather at us far greater and far more severe than our equipment is ready to handle. There's no equivalent system of rescue tugs or people enforcing weather controls. You know, is it a good time to go or not a good time to go for this rig Kulik or really for vessel transits anywhere else in Alaska? And so, you know, that's the whole prevention part of it. You know, what you had is, you know, a decision made by an individual company based on their own tolerance for risk. And they got it wrong. And so here we've got a situation in Prince William Sound where lots of parties and some well-developed procedures go into those kind of decisions. And there are backup resources to assist if things do go wrong, if there are mechanical failures. Another set of eyes watching and some rescue capability is a real basic, you know, step up from where we are today.
Do you think it's more important for this oversight to be from, like, an independent commission such like yours, or should the government specifically be more involved in providing oversight in the future?
Oh, I think the answer is both. I think the answer is both. I mean, you know, I think government works better when people are watching it. I think industry works when people watch it. I mean, I think, you know, I don't think you want citizens doing regulation. I certainly don't think industry would like that. But I think citizens, you know, those are the folks that pay the price if you know, the gamble goes wrong. You know, we've got more to lose here than anywhere else in the country. You know, we've got more people employed in the fishing industry than in the oil industry. So, you know, a lot more people depend on their livelihood, and there's more, you know, fish coming out of Alaska than the other 49 states combined. So if that's not worth protecting, I don't know what is.
All right, well, thank you very much.
All right, thanks.